broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robbie. And we have a great show for you today, and as always, you can catch us on ringsidereporter.com. That's www.ringsidereporter.com. Today, we're going to talk about Kovalev and Andre Ward. It could be close to happening. Very, very close. We're also going to talk about Manny Pacquiao. He says that God told him he was going to lose the Mayweather fight. God and a bunch of Las Vegas bookies told him he was going to lose the Mayweather fight. The history lesson this week, Robbie, we're going deep. 1981.
Good fight here, people.
October 3rd, 1981, Alexis Arguello versus Ray Boom Boom Mancini. But first, we get started with Gabriel Bracero knocking out Danny O'Connor in 41 seconds. The main event this weekend lasted 41 seconds, Robbie. The commercials were longer than the fight. Brooklyn welterweight Gabriel Tito Bracero came into hostile territory and knocked out hometown favorite Danny Boy O'Connor with just 41 seconds with a major right hand. Bracero, who handed Danny O'Connor his first pro loss. This was a shocker. I got to be honest, man. This was a shocker. Not that Bracero won necessarily. The fact that he won in 41 seconds. You know, Bracero has five knockouts. Five. You know, he's 24, two losses, and five knockouts. And he just completely cleaned O'Connor. O'Connor was finished. He was out before he hit the mat. That right hand, I mean, he just blasted him. And which some are calling the knockout of the year. What did you think?
Well, I was completely shocked because neither one of these guys are known for their power.
Right.
You know, but Bracero said before he went in the ring, because they interviewed both guys before the fight, and he basically said, I'm coming out here to end this early, he just didn't think that he was going to be in there very long. And he said, I'm bound and determined to end it early. And I'm like, yeah, right. You only have four knockouts. What are you talking about? You know, and what does he do? One punch. And that was it.
You know? You don't take it serious because everybody says they're going to end it early. I mean, Floyd Mayweather always talked about, you know, yeah, I'm going to go in and knock this guy out in 12 rounds, you know, of running later. You know, of course, it's a decision.
Yeah.
And, everybody says, well, I'm going to knock him out and blah, blah, blah. That's all the pre-fight rhetoric. But this guy, man, and this guy, what was so shocking about it is this guy is not known for his power. I mean, you know, there's no way this was going under six rounds. I mean, everybody was betting this to go the distance. Nobody was betting a knockout in this fight. And my goodness, I mean, did he deliver. He looked good for the 41 seconds that he was in there, you know.
Yeah, but I honestly wonder what this means for both guys because, you know, obviously for O'Connor, he's never been knocked out like this either. So, you know, I wonder where they both go from here. Bracero is like 34 years old. Of course, he spent 6 years in prison. That has a lot to do with why he doesn't have many more fights. But
right.
I don't know where either one of them go from here. I would think O'Connor is going to have to take some time and recover and figure out what he wants to do. And what do you do with a guy like Bracero? He obviously earned another fight, but who do you put him in against?
Right. Who would you put him in there? I mean, but that's the thing too. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, calling these guys like journeymen, I mean, that's really harsh, but they were kind of journeymen. I mean, nobody had heard of Danny O'Connor prior to his fight with Paulie Malignaggi. That never came off. That didn't come off. I mean, that's what he was most famous for. I mean, nobody had Danny O'Connor on the radar. You know,
right.
And then he won his next fight or whatever, and that was the guy. Oh, yeah, who's that? That's the guy that was going to fight Malignaggi. Yeah, that's O'Connor. And that's how we kind of got to know him. So they put him on here. And, I mean, there was, you know, after watching O'Connor's last fight, there was nobody that was mistaking him for going for the title anytime soon.
And look, you may think I'm crazy here, but I still think that Paulie O'Connor fight can still happen because neither one of those guys are going to hurt one another. You know?
Well, I think so too. I think so in a big way, man. Because, like I said, I mean, O'Connor, you know, I don't think the Bracero fight comes off now. I mean, after getting knocked out in 41 seconds,
right?
No, you don't want to put Paulie in against that guy. But O'Connor, yeah, I don't see why you don't put him in. I mean, Paulie's, you know, talking about fighting. I mean, he's fighting people in 8-rounders in Italy now. I mean, he's not going to fight any killers. So yeah, why not?
Well, I don't consider either one of these guys killers.
No.
I mean, Paulie could fight either one of these dudes. You know.
I think so too. Yeah, I think so too. But as far as where Danny O'Connor goes from here, I think he's in the same spot as he was, you know, prior to that. I don't think he headlines any more cards unless, you know, somebody's in there, you know, he's in against a top-rated guy, which, I mean, after this, I wouldn't put him in against a top-rated guy.
Well, look at this. This was a PBC card to basically fill up one of their dates.
Mm-hmm.
This was not
the normal PBC headliner, you know.
This was basically a PBC fill-in. This is kind of like this reminds me of like a Friday Night Fights kind of card, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, and, you know, somebody had mentioned do you think that the boxing is going to get saturated? And I don't think it'll get saturated, but I don't think you can put on really a lot of quality, top-notch fights at this kind of, you know, when you're having them going and going and, you know, when you have a fight every week. You know, I think it's going to be hard to keep that kind of level up, you know.
So that's why with these fights, I didn't mind them. I didn't mind them, you know.
No. I thought they were, you know, it was a decent card. I mean, it was easy. You know, it's better, again, man, this is better than the stuff we got on ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, this was better than that. You know, these are upper-level fighters, you know.
Yeah.
You're seeing guys that could actually get a shot,
yeah.
you know.
So, no, I don't know where either one of them go from here, but if Paulie doesn't want to continue fighting in Italy, I mean, these are two guys he could actually consider because I don't think either one of them would do serious damage to him. You know, I don't believe Paulie should be fighting, let me put it that way. But if he wants to continue, these are the kind of guys, you know, you don't mind seeing him against.
Right. Let's talk about the undercard a little bit here, man. Undefeated Dominican super bantamweight Jonathan Guzman, 20-0 with 20 knockouts, man.
He looks impressive.
He really did.
And mind you, he's got the same record as far as consecutive knockouts as a guy we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. Triple
right.
G, you know, 20 consecutive. Yeah.
Yeah, 20 consecutive, man. And I tell you, you know,
and
Danny Aquino, man, he was a game fighter. He was a really game fighter. You know, he was outmatched, but he was a game fighter and hung in there as long as he could, man. And then the end came in the ninth round when, Guzman stopped him. So, yeah. He dropped Aquino in the second round. He hurt him, and he lasted until the ninth round when Guzman ended it with a left hook, man. That was a brutal left hook, by the way.
Yep.
Very good, man. So, and both guys were from Massachusetts, right around that area. And you knew that was kind of going to be the way it was. And that's what they do, and that's what, like, the PBC does that's really good. And that's what a lot of times, like, the UFC does, too, in their cards. When they go to a town or whatever, there'll be a lot of, like, hometown guys or guys in that area fighting, which is really cool. Because, you know, you kind of get into it then. You know, you're like, oh, these guys are one of us, you know. And so very, very cool. Did you catch the Ryan, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Klujewski?
Yeah, I caught it.
Is it Kilczewski? Kilczewski,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
My Polish is still there. Ryan Kilczewski, who won two New England Golden Gloves championships, won a 10-round hard-fought decision over Brooklyn's Rafael Vasquez. He just, to me, he seemed to outbox him. You know what I mean? There was a cut over Kilczewski's right eye in the eighth, and, you know, he was rocked in the last, like, what is it, the final 30 seconds, but he ended up winning, man, 97-93 twice and 96-94.
The only fight I did not catch is the heavyweight fight they had on after the knockout.
I didn't catch that one either.
Yeah, they had an 8-round heavyweight fight. I can't remember who was in it, but, you know, I had other things to do, so I didn't catch that. But, I caught that fight, so. Let's go across the pond and let's
absolutely, man.
Talk about
all right, so let's talk about first, man. Let's talk about as we go across the pond to Manchester, England this weekend, man. Unbeaten junior middleweight Liam, and this is his nickname, Beefy. His nickname is Beefy. Liam Beefy
okay.
Smith.
One of the four Smith UK brothers over there.
That's right. This is Beefy, yeah. You know, and the other yeah. one's Sleepy right. and Drowsy. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Won a seventh round knockout over former, well, actually his current Boxino winner, John Thompson, to win the vacant WBO World Junior Middleweight title, formerly held by Demetrius Andrade.
Oh, did I? Boy, did I pick that one wrong.
Yeah.
I thought Thompson would win that.
I didn't know. I wasn't real sure, you know. And then Thompson thoroughly outboxed Smith to build up an early lead, but Smith came back in midway, rocking Thompson in round six. Smith then laid out Thompson face down with a big right hand in round seven. The time was a minute 44 in the seventh round. It was ridiculous. If you saw this knockout, it was ridiculous. It actually rivaled the one we saw with O'Connor on the PBC.
Okay.
It was wicked, boy. He laid him out.
Okay.
Thompson kind of surprised me. He actually did very well for himself early, but you saw that. You saw kind of switch, man. Smith. So you kind of ask yourself, where is it? You know, and all I could think about, man, when I was watching this, man, like Brandon Adams could be in there right now. You know,
that's
so,
right. Yeah.
Oh man, my man. Yeah. Hey, congratulations to Liam Smith, Beefy, the new WBO champion.
Okay.
Now, the WBA World Lightweight Champion, Terry Flanagan, annihilated Diego Magdaleno in two rounds on Saturday night. They thought this was a pick-em fight. I mean, everybody was like, this is a pick-em fight, man. And he just went out there and annihilated him, man. Flanagan looked impressive. He dropped him three times in round two, and then it was waved off at 238 with Magdaleno just being decimated on the ropes, man.
Okay,
pretty clear, man. Like I said, man, this was supposed to be one of those 50-50 fights. Man, it wasn't even close. This was all Flanagan.
With both of these guys winning, they're in different divisions, obviously, but where do you see both of them going from here?
Well, I mean, Liam Smith, I mean, hey, they're both champions now. So Liam Smith and junior middleweight, you know, we'll have to see where he goes. I think he looked pretty good. I mean, that knockout was really impressive. Everybody likes power, so...
Right.
The knockout was really impressive. I mean, he's up there with the junior middleweights. I mean, he could be a force, but I don't know. The thing is, I mean, you know, I don't know who you match him against. I think you keep him in England because I don't know how, you know, I don't know how welcome he would be in the States. Not for us welcoming him, but for, like, him traveling across here as far as purse money and everything like that. Would he be, you know, would they welcome him in and give him, you know, what he's going to get in England? You know, I don't know.
And what about Flanagan? I don't know a whole lot about him either.
Flanagan looked decent, man. Lightweight champion now, WBO World Lightweight Champion Terry Flanagan. He looked really decent. He's 29-0. He's got 12 knockouts, including this one right here. He looked really good, man. He looked really good. But the thing about the English fighters is they tend to stay in England.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, and very few people want to go to England and fight these guys.
Right.
And the people that want to go to England and fight these guys, they don't necessarily want to give them. I mean, look at the Brandon Rios thing when he wanted to fight Kell Brook. You know, he doesn't want to, you know, he goes over there, but then he's got to give up every last thing to go.
Well, I think that fight would have came off, but Eddie Hearn wanting to put in a rematch clause for a fight that doesn't need to, you don't need a rematch. I mean, come on, Brandon. Yeah, well, I'll put it this way: if Timothy Bradley doesn't take care of Brandon Rios, Timothy Bradley better find a new line of work.
It wasn't look, man. Here's the deal, man. It wasn't even so much the rematch clause in that fight that got me, because he's a champion. Anything could happen. I mean, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
He can get knocked out, and it doesn't even bother me that the rematch would have taken place in England. Doesn't bother me. The fact is, the money didn't change. He still wanted like a 70-30 or whatever split.
Yeah.
Come on, man. I mean, look. I mean, if you want him to take place in England, fine. But that money's got to change. You're no longer the champion. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you're the draw or not. Look, I mean, it is what it is. You know. So you're not that big. You know. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's talk about the toe-to-toe Tuesday fight that took place last Tuesday. This was a good one. This was Jose, and I'm gonna butcher his name too.
It's Jose Toskehi or.
Jose Uzcategui stops Julius Jackson, the son of Julian Jackson, 45 seconds into the second round. Uzcategui got off to a blistering start, dropping Jackson three times in the first round. This fight could have been stopped in the first round. Jackson was never able to regain his footing, and the fight was stopped midway point in the second round. I was shocked at this fight, man. I mean, because he came out there blazing. Uzcategui came out there blazing, man, and just caught him.
I'd never seen Jose fight before.
I'd never seen him either. I mean, he looked pretty good to me, man. And Jackson, you know, he's 19-1 with 15 knockouts, but you know, he was 19-0 going into the fight. But you could tell he was very inexperienced. I was wondering why he wasn't holding.
Well, because Julian Jackson, the Hawk, said during his career, "I'm never going to hold." And so, obviously, he's passed that on to both of his sons. You don't hold.
Yeah, that was silly, you know? Boy, because, I mean, he just got smashed. And the only thing I'm thinking about, like, man, hold on, you know, don't block. Just grab him and, you know, try to hold him and try to get him, you know, try to buy some time here and clear your head, man.
And now Jose is now the mandatory challenger for James Dedele.
Wow, I'll watch that fight, man. That was a good fight. That was a good fight. I want to see him again, man, because he looked impressive. I did not expect him to do that to Jackson. Not at all. You know, after the fight, they talked to Julius Jackson. He said it was pretty much a fast start. That was about it. He said, "I got hit, and I don't remember much after that." He said, "We wanted to control the fight with my jab, but he countered it well and hurt me." He said, "I never recovered after that." He, as far as holding went, he said, "I never thought about holding." He said, "I was busy working. If I were him, I probably would have thought about holding." He said, "He's not too experienced." You know, so yeah, man. Or that was Cataway talking. So
yeah,
I mean, just insane, man. I couldn't understand why he just did not grab him and hold on, man.
Yeah. No. Well, now Jose, that's what I'm going to call him.
That's right.
Is now the mandatory challenger for James Dedele. But James Dedele has to go to Canada in November and fight Lucien Bouté. And now, look, I love the PBC. I love the fact they put on these fights. But James Dedele is the champion. If you're going to give your champions hometown fights, why are you being unfair to one of your champions here? This fight should be taking place in the UK. Since when do you have to go to the challenger's hometown?
Yeah, well, I mean, he agreed to it, so, I mean, who knows? I mean...
You know,
I don't know. I would think the money, he would garner more money in England, but who knows? Maybe that's why the British fighters don't come over here, you know?
Yeah, so anyway, but no, that's up next for Jose, providing James beats Lucien Bouté, so, which he should. I don't think Lucien's got much left, to be honest with you, but
no,
that's
not
just
at all.
My opinion. Yeah.
Not at all.
Anyway.
The other bout on the card featured Argenis Mendez. He scored a unanimous decision over Miguel Vasquez, 99-90. Go ahead.
I'm going to talk about these scores here, because this is the problem I have with judges. 99-90. 97-92, and 95-94.
Right.
I mean,
they were all over the place.
You have it right. The right guy won.
Right.
But how in the world can you be so different in your scores?
I think it depends. I mean, you know, I always point to, like, the Arislandi Lara fight with Canelo Alvarez. And some people say that Lara won the fight. Some people say that Canelo won the fight. And they're very steadfast on who they think won the fight. You know, they think that, you know, if you like boxers, then you thought Laura won the fight. If you liked aggression, controlled aggression, then you thought that Cotto won the fight.
Canelo.
Or Canelo, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You thought Laura
fighting Cotto, I don't think that would be much of a fight.
No,
anyway.
I don't think Canelo and Cotto are going to be much of a fight either, but, you know.
Yeah.
The
right guy won here, but how in the world can you be so diverse in your scorecard? I mean, I don't remember any knockdowns taking place or any point deductions taking place. I just couldn't figure out, my God, because 99-90, well, if you scored a complete shutout, that's 100-90. So how did you come up with 99? Was there a point deducted that I missed?
I wonder if he scored, I wonder if he scored one of them an even round or something like that. I don't know.
You know?
That is odd. I wonder if it was added wrong. Yeah, I wonder if it was added wrong or something.
Yeah, because it. If there was no point deductions, the score should have been 100-90,
right.
98-92, 96-94. You know, I don't remember a point being deducted, so how in the world do you come up with those scores?
Insane. Yeah. But at least the right guy won. So
yeah.
That's the important part.
And I don't want to see Miguel Vasquez on my TV anymore.
I don't either.
He fights so boring, and yet he was champion of that weight class for four consecutive years.
Makes you wonder.
You know?
Makes you wonder what they were feeding him, you know?
Yeah.
What kind of opponents, anyway.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. On Tuesday, the Toe-to-Toe Tuesdays, which will have already happened, but we'll review next week, of course. Gerald Washington versus Robbie's boy, Amir Mansour. 10 rounds, heavyweights, and Michael Hunter versus TBA, and also on the card will be Ahmed Elbialy will be on that card also.
My problem with this, I don't know who Gerald Washington is. I have never seen him.
Right.
But this is one of the criticisms I do have with the PBC. How in the world can you give a 42-year-old heavyweight all these main events? They gave him a main event against Cunningham. They gave him a main event against Fred Cassie, and now they're giving him a main event against a guy by the name of Gerald Washington. Again, I don't know who Washington is, but this guy is 42 years old. Why in the world are you investing so much in a guy that,
He's a club fighter.
Yeah.
All right. This kills me. He is a club fighter. I don't know who he has nude pictures of in the PBC, but he's got them of somebody, all right, to be on this card, to be headlining this card, to be anywhere near our TVs. The guy's 42 years old. He's completely out of shape. I'm done. Just irritated.
See, for those that want to criticize the PBC, here's perfect ammunition for them to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just irritates me he's even on TV. This guy is not going to be a contender. This guy is not going to make any dent in the heavyweight division. What's he doing here? What kind of dent do you think he's going to make at 42?
Well, Eric, what they're doing is they're promoting his backstory.
Backstory. So wasn't he in prison or something like that?
Yeah, for like 9 or 10 years.
Wasn't he the guy that Bernard Hopkins had met or something like that, and he had his first fight on his undercard or something?
Yeah, something like that. I just don't get why the PBC is investing so much in a guy that's this age. If you want to feed him to Deontay Wilder, go right ahead.
Right.
But don't make it so obvious what you're doing here. And I don't know anything about Washington. But I sincerely hope Gerald Washington, whoever he is, comes in there and messes up the PBC's plans.
Yeah, just get rid of this guy, all right? I hope Washington comes in and just KOs him. I don't think he will. I think Mansour is the headliner. He's like the house fighter there, and maybe he wins. Who cares?
This is perfect ammunition for those that hate the PBC.
Yeah, I wouldn't go. What kind of crowd is this going to draw? Where's it going to be, at the local high school?
Actually, it's going to take place at an Indian casino in Shelton, Washington.
Yeah, how many tickets are given away for that?
I have no idea. I don't,
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say this is the last PBC Toe-to-Toe Tuesday that I know that's scheduled. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
on Wednesday,
from Glendale, Arizona, the PBC on ESPN, Devin Alexander versus Aaron Martinez, 12 rounds welterweights, and also the American debut. This guy is good. I'm looking forward to watching him, man. Lee Selby versus Fernando Montiel, 12 rounds for Selby's IBF featherweight title. I was very happy for Lee Selby when he won that title, and I'm very anxious to see him again. He's a good fighter. I hear a lot of good things about him. I've seen him a couple of times, and I can't wait to see him. Sometimes when British fighters come to the U.S., they kind of get that stage fright. You know what I mean? Where, you know, it's a little bit different atmosphere. It's a little bit different of a thing. You're away from home. You know, I'm really anxious to see how he does in the U.S. under the bright lights.
Yeah. And they've got a decent opponent for him, and I'm glad you told me about this because I completely would have missed it. That's Wednesday on ESPN, right?
Right.
Okay.
And now also, too, and Devin Alexander, I mean, I'm looking forward to him fighting, too. That's going to be a good fight also. But Lee Selby, very, very much looking forward to that one.
Okay.
Now, on Friday, at Chicago, on Spike TV, the PBC on Spike TV, Andre Fonfara versus Nathan Cleverly, 12 rounds, light heavyweights. This is going to be a good. Last time I saw Cleverly, he was only in the ring for 30 seconds, but he looked good, kind of like Bracero. Cleverly is a good fighter. I don't know that he's ready for Fonfara, though, man. I like Fonfara in this one. Fonfara is on a roll. I tell you what. I think him and Stevenson are headed for another collision course, man.
Yeah, and, I'll never forget the way Nathan Cleverly looked when he met up with the killer, Sergey Kovalev. Fonfara should win this with no problem. Man, Friday night's packed because we also got a True TV card that night.
Absolutely. True TV, Sean Monahan versus Donovan George, 10 rounds, light heavyweights.
Okay.
So, I'd rather watch the Fonfara fight, but make sure you cut your DVRs for that.
Yeah.
Now that moves us to the big one on Saturday on pay-per-view, HBO pay-per-view in New York, MSG. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin versus David Lemieux for the WBA, WBC, and interim IBF middleweight titles.
And you know what? I was wrong on the price. So it's going to be $59 for HD, but
I don't care. I'm still watching, man.
I cannot encourage people enough. Spend your money. And I can also guarantee you one thing. The main event will not go 12 rounds. I'll be very shocked if it does.
Yeah.
Because the way these two guys fight, somebody is going to sleep.
Now,
we don't know who, we don't know when, but somebody's going to sleep.
Now, De La Hoya's come out. Obviously, De La Hoya, the promoter of David Lemieux. And so, of course, he thinks that Lemieux's going to win, which, hey, I think it's going to be a good fight, man. I think it could very well happen. He says that Lemieux is the better boxer. Do you agree with him?
No, because do you remember how Triple G cut off the ring against a boxer like Willie Monroe?
Right. And Monroe's a good boxer. Monroe's a very slick boxer.
But Triple G managed to always cut the ring off. I mean, Monroe couldn't get away from him. And Willie Monroe is known for his boxing. So, Oscar, do you need to go back into rehab? You know? Because I think David Lemieux is heavy-handed and heavy-footed. I don't think he can move as well as Gennady. And when you train in Big Bear, California, which is 8,000 or 9,000 feet in altitude, and you constantly train in a place like that, if this fight does go the distance, stamina will not be a problem for the Triple Man. You know?
No, I don't think so either, man. And both guys, I mean, both guys have that power. You know, I think Golovkin can put him away a little bit quicker than Lemieux can put him away, but, I mean, both guys have pop, man. So both guys are capable of putting the other away. I think that Golovkin's experience, his amateur experience, his professional experience is going to tell the difference in this.
And, well, you know, their records are pretty darn similar. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, very similar. You know, but I just think that Golovkin right now is, you know, I just think he's on that meteoric rise, man. I just do, you know. Did you see him in the commercial, the Apple Watch commercial?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah,
and, you know, I was gonna bring up another thing. I haven't seen any promotional advertisements from DirecTV or any other cable outlet to promote that this fight is on pay-per-view. And normally, with a fight like this, you constantly see advertisements. I wonder what's up with that.
I don't know. But I know that it's a 15-second commercial for the Apple Watch, and it shows Triple G in there shadow boxing. And at the end, he looks at the watch or whatever. It's the Apple Watch, and he gets his heartbeat or whatever, and that was pretty much that. But,
oh, wow.
Very cool. I mean, Apple, you know, and he's on the Apple commercial now. So he's, you know, he's all over TMZ. He's all over the Apple. He's, you know, he's starting to get mainstream.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's on that meteoric rise. If he beats David Lemieux, this guy is headed for the superstardom, man. He's going to be the next top star.
They pretty much guaranteed him that he gets the winner of Cotto Canelo.
Well, he has to, yeah. They're middleweight, yeah. You know. I mean, that's Cotto's the, you know, middleweight deep
champion. Cotto is the mandatory, and if Canelo beats him, Canelo becomes the mandatory, I would think.
Right.
You know? And, again, I haven't figured out what I'm going to do with that fight yet. I pay attention one fight at a time, but I would think that if Canelo wins, Canelo will not turn that fight down. He will take it. You know.
Cotto on the other hand. Yeah.
If Cotto wins, Cotto's going to pull all the Floyd Mayweather tricks in the book to try to avoid getting killed.
That fight would be huge in New York.
Yeah.
A Cotto fight with Golovkin would be huge in New York.
And see, one of the reasons why I'm encouraging everybody to buy this fight, because the higher the pay-per-view numbers, if Golovkin wins, the more negotiating power Triple G will have over said Canelo or Cotto.
I don't care as long as the fight happens, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. That's what I think. I mean, as long as that fight happens, that'll be good enough, man.
Yeah.
As far as who's going to win this fight, man, it's you know, you got to lean toward Triple G. He's the favorite in this fight, just based on his body of work and who he's fought. I think he's fought better competition. I think he's fought it at a higher level. I'm taking Triple G in this one over David Lemieux.
Absolutely.
Would not be surprised if it went the other way.
No. And you know what? For all you Triple G supposed haters who constantly say, "Well, he hasn't fought anybody." Well, we're gonna find out come Saturday night.
Collecting titles. I mean, what do you want to do? He's fighting everybody with a title. He's beating them. So
yeah, I mean,
all the guys put in front of him. You know.
I know. We're gonna find out for as long as this lasts. And I'm convinced it's not going to go 12 rounds. And in this case, I'm perfectly okay with it, because for as long as it lasts, it's going to be wonderful to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, a pretty good undercard too. Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez versus Brian Viloria. 12 rounds for Gonzalez's WBC flyweight title. Gonzalez, on many lists, has become now the new pound-for-pound guy. I've caught him on the award, but...
Brian is a very decent fighter, but Roman is on another level, and I think this is one that's also... This is another one that's going to end early also. Roman's got way too much power for him. And I believe we have... there's a couple other fights on that card, isn't there?
Yeah, I've got Louis Ortiz, but I don't know who he's fighting yet. It says to be TBA. Go ahead.
The problem with that is two big names turned down that slot. It was first offered to Brian Jennings. Brian Jennings pulled the Diva card out and said, "You didn't offer me enough money." And then they offered it to Bermain Stavern, and he didn't want it. So I don't know who Louis is going to get.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it real quick here. Let me go to the schedule.
And then I know we have another fight on that card also.
Yeah, Terriano Johnson versus Emin O'Kane, 12 rounds in the middleweights. And Louis Ortiz, 10 rounds heavyweights versus Matias Vidondo.
Okay,
That household name right there.
Well, like I said, they've offered it to Stavern, he turned it down. They offered it to Jennings, he turned it down. So... I think the promoters had to grab the best heavyweight they could find, you know, that was available.
Right.
So I can't criticize them. And Terriano Johnson, he's the one that fought Curtis Stevens and dominated him for 9 rounds and then ran out of gas in the 10th. So, you know, And then earlier in the day, Saturday afternoon on NBC, we have Lamont Peterson fighting also.
Right, Lamont Peterson versus Felix Diaz. And I'm also seeing Andre Durrell fighting Blake Caparillo.
Yeah, that's correct. So,
and that's on PBC on NBC earlier in the
day. On NBC, and then they'll have the undercard fights if they have any on NBC Sports. So this week we have Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. We can't complain as boxing fans.
Absolutely. Now, if you want to stream, there's some that you can stream also from Carson, California. We have Donny Nietes. He usually fights with, who's the other Filipino guy? Nonito Donaire.
Yeah.
He usually fights with Donny Nietes. Is no joke either. He's a junior flyweight. He's going to fight Juan Alejo, and I don't see a TV on that. So
that's probably Ring TV, one of those LA Fight Club things.
Right. And let's see what else I got here. I've got that's from Carson, California. And then Frezo Kendo and Ruslan Chagaev in Kiel, Germany.
Oh, my
Chagaev
God.
Regular heavyweight title. Yeah, how about that?
I can't believe those two are still fighting. Okay.
From Uncasville, Connecticut, Demetrius Andrade versus Dario Fabian, 10 rounds, junior middles.
Okay. Okay.
And let's see what else. There's a whole bunch, but let me find out the good ones here. Now, this one will be on Ring TV. Let me see. There's an Unimas card, too, I believe. Yeah, for all the people who habla on Unimas, Jesse Magdaleno versus Virgil Nebran, 10 rounds, featherweights.
Okay.
And let me see. There's an England card, Sam Eggington from Birmingham. Sam Eggington versus Frankie Gavin, 12 rounds for the British Commonwealth welterweight title. Matthew Macklin will also fight Jason Wellborn on there.
Okay.
Also. And that should be it for this weekend.
Wow. Yeah, what a weekend.
Yeah, really, man.
Yeah.
So big weekend. Big weekend of boxing.
Yep.
All right. So let's move on to our history lesson.
Good and fight here, folks.
October 3rd, 1981, we're going deep again. Alexis Arguello versus Ray Boom Boom Mancini. Let me tell you about both fighters, man. Ray Boom Boom Mancini, obviously an Ohio guy. Ray Boom Boom Mancini was an aggressive offensive fighter. He didn't like to fight going backwards, and he had the power to get you out of there.
Yep.
His father was also a boxer, but never got a shot at the title.
No.
He never got a shot. He was called away for World War II and got a Purple Heart for his trouble and never fought again. You know, he was injured, so he could never fight again. Ray Mancini always dedicated his career to his father and wanted to get a title for him. This was finally his chance to make his dream come true.
Right.
Alexis Arguello. This guy was such a pure boxer. He reminded me of a chess player. You know, he's always calculated in the ring, man. He always seemed to be four or five moves ahead of everyone he fought. And this night, man, would be no different. This fight was scheduled for 15 rounds. And for the early part of the fight, man, Mancini was getting the better of Arguello. He was the aggressor. But even though he was taking some of the early rounds, he never really actually seemed to control the fight with Arguello. You got the sense that Arguello was just kind of feeling him out through those early rounds. The fight started getting, the fight never really seemed to be getting away from him. The middle rounds was where Arguello really started taking control, started putting in vicious shots. Arguello was just a classic boxer, and his punches were so sharp that everything he threw, it would just hit its target. Mancini had a ton of heart, and he showed it in this fight, but Mancini was dropped to one knee in round 12 with a perfect right cross. He got back up and finished the round. He was so game in this fight, man. He took a beating. His corner was very close to stopping the fight. In the 13th, he was really taking a beating. His corner again, decided to give him one more round, to see if he can kind of bring this in. He has got two more rounds to go. In the 14th round, Arguello landed a beautiful combination. And, I mean, this was like a 6-7 punch combination that he landed that finished with a right hand that sprawled Mancini out along the bottom rope. The referee stepped in after the final right hand landed before Mancini actually hit the floor. It was one of the most impressive knockouts I've ever seen, man. Just a beautiful combination. I mean, he must have hit him with three left hands followed by that right. After the fight, Mancini was just heartbroken. He was visibly upset. This was his chance, to finally make his, to do this for his father,
At
the post-fight interview, Arguello told Mancini, he said that he admired him, and if there was anything he could do for him and his father, he said to let him know. And after that fight, Arguello, you know, became a star, man. People admired him for the compassion that he showed Mancini after the fight. It was just one of those fights. It was just an incredible fight to watch. And to watch Arguello do what he did to him, because you knew how good Mancini was coming in. He was 20-0. You knew how good Mancini was coming in, but then you also knew that Arguello was a great, great fighter, you know, and he had a ton of experience, you know.
Well, unfortunately for Ray, Eric, I think his career was forever changed.
Yeah.
In 1982, after the Dooku Kim fight, he never fought the same way again after that.
Right. Right.
You know?
No, he sure didn't. But the silver lining here is that, you know, Mancini actually did go on to win the WBA World Championship just a year later. And his father was watching on that night. So, so great ending for both fighters. And, of course, Arguello went on to stardom, of course, after that fight.
Right.
Everybody, you know, after that fight, everybody looked at Arguello like, you know, you didn't really know him until after that fight. You may have seen him fight, but you didn't really know him until after that fight, or at least you thought you did. You know, that
right.
you really got that sense of, wow, this guy, wow, I could really get behind this guy. Even
yeah.
though everybody was cheering for Mancini, you weren't sad that Arguello won. I mean, you were sad for Mancini, but the fact that Arguello won, you were like, I can deal with this. You know, this is a good guy here. This isn't just something.
And, you know, to this day, I miss 15-round fights. You know, I know why they went to 12. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I love the days of the 15-round fights. I mean, to me, you actually proved what kind of fighter you were when you had to go 45 minutes. It's like, you know.
That's a tough thing to do. Very tough thing to do. To be out there, you know. 45 minutes, like you said, 45 minutes, an hour with the rest time, and that's a tough thing to do, man. That's not an easy thing.
No.
So,
you know.
So that's our history lesson.
You know, I understand why they put it to 12, but as an old-time boxing fan, any time we can talk 15-round fights, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's move on to a 12-round fight here, and that's our fantasy fight this week. In our fantasy fight, I think it's a good one. It takes place at 175 pounds, light heavyweight. Roy Jones Jr. versus the Jinx, Michael the Jinx Spinks.
Another Russian fighting an American.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, Michael Spinks was one of the best fighters ever at 175 pounds, and Roy Jones, man, he was pretty good too.
Yeah.
He was actually one. I put Roy Jones as one of the best fighters ever.
That's right.
No question. As far as, let's go over the specifics here, man. As far as the chin goes, who do you give this to?
I think I have to give that to Michael Spinks.
See, I would have to push this. I mean, Michael Spinks was never knocked out. We might have to give this to Spinks, man, because now that I think about it, Spinks was never knocked out at light heavyweight.
Because remember, Roy, I think, got KO'd
by
twice
Tarver.
That I can remember.
Yeah, by Tarver and Glenn Johnson at 175.
No, I was thinking Montel Griffin. Didn't Montel Griffin knock him out?
No. He knocked out Montel Griffin in two rounds in their first fight.
Oh, that's right.
And then it was a six-round disqualification in their first fight.
Okay, that's right. It was Glenn Johnson. Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Jones has been dropped twice.
Lou Del Valle dropped him. Yeah, that's right. Lou Del Valle dropped him.
Yeah. And I think, if memory serves, I think Michael Spinks might have gotten knocked down, but I don't think he ever got stopped.
So at 175, yeah, I agree with you. Let's give the chin, I would give it to Spinks, man.
Yeah.
Speed, I don't think there's any question here. Roy Jones. power, I think Roy Jones.
Yep.
And boxing ability here, I mean, well, Spinks did win a gold medal, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I think the boxing ability would have to almost be even between these two, don't you think?
That's what I have down. I have a push down for both of these guys.
I think that
the ability, like I said, they're different styles, but both have very similar ability, you know.
Right, right.
Again, Michael Spinks was one of the best light heavyweights ever.
I know Roy would have the height and reach advantage because Spinks was short.
Yeah, he absolutely would. This is a tough one, man. This is a real, real tough one. And I think it's almost a toss-up, but I think that ultimately I see Roy Jones winning this via decision or by a late stoppage. I think the speed bewilders him. Michael Spinks has never fought. I mean, Jones has fought people like Spinks. If you put like Tarver down and you put like, you know, people like that. Now, even though he lost against Tarver, I could see that kind of fight.
Right.
But if you're talking about Roy Jones in his prime, not before he went up to heavyweight and came back down.
Yeah.
When he was killing everybody at 160 through 175.
Yep.
I think that the speed gives Spinks a lot of problems.
Yep.
I think speed gives Spinks a lot of issues.
Right.
And that's what I see ultimately being the difference maker here. But, you know, on the flip side, if we go the other way, I could actually see this one being like the Tarver fight for Roy Jones. Where, you know, because Spinks did have the ability to frustrate people, you know, but so did Jones. So did Jones. It's a real toss up, but for me, I see Jones winning by a decision, a very close decision. And that's where I view it as. I view this, it could go, you know, I see it being like if Tarver fought him prior to him going up and coming down, I still think Jones wins that fight.
Yep.
You know.
And one of the most classic lines in boxing. Any excuses to that, Roy?
Well, fortunately for Roy, I don't think he needed him that night. Or I wouldn't think he'd need him this night, as I think he wins. I do think he wins. So, what about you? What do you think of this fight?
I think this is either a unanimous decision for Jones or a split decision for Jones. Again, with judges, you never know.
Yeah. Well, that's so far we've got one for Jones, now two for Jones. The computer is going to make this a split decision. They
have
60% for Michael Spinks.
Okay.
And which, you know, it's hard to argue with. And
no,
sometimes they had Spinks knocking him out a couple of times, and they had the rest by decisions. And the same with Roy. They had Roy knocking him out a few times, and then they had the rest by decision. But
I can see this 60-40, 50-50. I don't have a problem with that.
I can, too. Yeah, 60% for Spinks, though. The computer says, so we have a split decision on our hands, just like we think it would be.
Yeah.
So one for Spinks and then two for Jones.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, like I said, man, I just think Jones's power and I think the power hurts him. May not hurts him in the sense of where he's wobbled or anything, but just gets his attention where he doesn't want to do the same thing twice. You know what I mean? He's not going to go in there and want, you know, he doesn't want to get clipped. And he knows if he stays in a place too long, he's going to get clipped.
And for everybody listening, you know, email at rings. Ringside73 or
Twitter or Facebook, absolutely.
Send an email and give us suggestions for future fantasy fights that you'd like to see.
Right, ringsidereporter.com.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So let's move on to go ahead.
Might as well get people involved here.
That's right. Let's move on to our news and rumors section here.
Okay.
All right, so let's start this up. Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev, negotiations are set to begin. The rumor is that Ward will fight on the undercard of Cotto Canelo and will then have a fight with Kovalev on pay-per-view after that. The rumor is there's going to be a three-fight deal, and it'll start on the undercard of Cotto Canelo. He'll fight on there, then he'll fight the pay-per-view with Kovalev, and then he'll have one more fight with HBO.
Right.
Who do you favor if that fight happens?
If this was a couple of years ago, before Andre Ward took his sabbatical, you know, I would favor Ward because I don't think Kovalev has ever dealt with anybody like Ward with his boxing ability and the way he boxes and things. But now I've got serious questions about Andre Ward. I mean, he took such a long layoff, and I know he constantly was in the gym, but to me, there's a difference between being in the gym and actually being under the lights. And he's only fought a guy like with Paul Smith. I mean, and he's obviously going to have some sort of tune-up here on November 21st. For right now, unless I see something different between now and then, I would have to favor Sergey Kovalev because Kovalev has been more active and he's actually been in the ring under the lights. I would like to favor Ward here, but to me, Andre has not really fought any significant competition and he's obviously moving up in weight. if I had to make a choice now, I would favor Kovalev, but that is subject to change depending on what Andre Ward does between now and the time the fight takes place.
Right. If the fight were to happen tomorrow, man, I would favor Andre Ward. I think, again, man, I just think he's the best boxer out there. I've thought that for a long time now. When he took that Super 6 and just demolished everybody there, I mean, none of those fights were close. None of them.
But that was like in 2009, 2010, 2011.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he's taking, I mean, you know, and he came back and his skills didn't look diminished at all. I mean, I don't care who he was fighting. I mean, they would have, you didn't see any rust on him. He didn't look diminished. He looked just like the Ward of old.
And again, with if you want to put this fight on pay-per-view, who's going to be the selling point? Because, again, Andre Ward doesn't sell out tickets. So who are the fans going to buy the pay-per-view for? Kovalev, or are they going to buy it for Ward?
I don't know. It depends. I mean, you know, Kovalev, you know, Andre Ward doesn't sell tickets, but, you know, he's not going to sell them over his Paul Smith.
Right. He's
going to sell them against Kovalev.
And he's obviously going to be on an undercard of a bigger fight. So how are you going to find out, you know, what the selling point's going to be? I mean, you're going to put two guys on pay-per-view here that don't have any pay-per-view experience.
Yeah. But, you know, they did it with Golovkin and Lemieux. Lemieux's not a draw at all.
No.
I mean, nobody's tuning in for Lemieux.
No. Look, everybody's tuning in for Golovkin here. That's my problem with this fight being on pay-per-view. How in the world are you going to sell this as a pay-per-view? Who's going to be the selling point here?
Right. You know.
To be honest with you, I don't think this pay-per-view does very well.
We'll find out. We'll find out if and when it takes place. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a great fight, though. I can't wait.
I think as a fight, it's wonderful, but I don't think it does well pay-per-view wise.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to
Because don't you have to get the casual fans involved in order to have a successful pay-per-view?
I would think so. I would think so.
And I don't know how you do it in this case because you got one guy who's an extremely good boxer, but he's not a good promoter. He's not a good talker. And you've got another guy that can't speak English. I don't know how you sell this pay-per-view.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do it, that's for sure.
Both guys
don't have a lot of personality. I mean, Kovalev does, and maybe
they
can kind of transfer that. I don't know.
But to me, you need a personality to sell a pay-per-view.
But Kovalev, I will say that Kovalev is the, you know, if I had an A side, B side, I would say Kovalev is the A side.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I like Ward, I mean, you know, he's not drawing much. In Kovalev's fights, you know, he draws more. So,
yeah. Again, there's only one reason that people are going to tune in on Saturday night, and his name is Triple G.
Absolutely.
You know, so do you market the fact that Kovalev is the knockout artist here to get people to buy this?
I think you have to. I mean,
yeah.
Because, you know, nobody knows who, you know, I mean, I don't even think, I mean, Ward's not that popular. He's the best fighter in the world that nobody knows, you know?
No.
I mean, yeah, so you'd have to.
And look, if you're going to make this a successful pay-per-view, I don't know when they're planning on doing this, but you're going to have to stack that undercard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're going to have to.
You know.
You'd have to have some pretty big fighters on there.
Yeah. No, as a boxing fan, I think this is a good fight. I'm leaning towards Kovalev, but again, that's subject to change, you know. Because if Andre Ward proves to be the Andre Ward that I remember from before he took his 2-year layoff, then I don't think Kovalev has a chance.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. It'll be interesting, though.
Yeah.
Let's move on here. Ronda Rousey says that Floyd Mayweather can rebuild his image. Ronda Rousey was out in New York City this last week where she told TMZ there's still hope for Floyd. He could go the Mike Tyson route and go on a self-journey of betterment. Mike had serious issues of his own during his storied boxing career, rape, drug possession, and all this. But people like Ronda believe he's a changed person now, and he's completely rebuilt his image. So there you go, Floyd, something from Ronda Rousey again. Why does she keep messing with this guy, man? I mean, I like Ronda. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Ronda Rousey, but who cares about Floyd? I mean, he's retired. Why are you messing with him still? You know,
I know exactly why she's doing this, because Ronda is trying to build up her fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, Ronda goes in and destroys people. The fights don't last even a minute. you know, she's got to, and she's in movies now and doing commercials and modeling.
Right.
I mean, I don't blame. Hey. I don't blame Ronda for using Floyd here. I mean, hey, if it builds up her pay-per-view numbers, hey, why not?
It's smart business, just like, and Floyd should appreciate that. It's smart business,
yeah,
you know?
So there that's
you
right.
go.
Yeah.
You want to piggyback off him? Hey, who cares? Making money.
That's right.
Money
yeah.
Mayweather, you know, hey,
yeah.
why not? All right,
yeah.
So according to Amir Khan, this is a very important part of this sentence here. According to Amir Khan, the fight with Pacquiao is close to happening. Amir Khan is stating that the probability of him fighting Pacquiao next month, or not next month, but next, is about 75%. He believes that he will be the next opponent for Pacquiao. I think this is a good fight for both guys, you know.
Like I told you last week, the fight has to take place either in January or February or April, because it won't be taking place in March.
No.
Because Bob Arum has said to Dubai. Deal did not go through, so the fight has to take place in Vegas. If they're going to use Vegas, it has to be January, February, or April.
Yeah. In the meantime, Manny Pacquiao went on record saying that he's in negotiations with both Amir Khan and Floyd Mayweather. Bob Arum has now went on record and stated that's BS. He said there
yeah.
is no negotiation with Mayweather, so who knows? Manny is in his own little world, and that actually leads us to our train wreck of the week.
I don't know where he comes off with this, but go ahead and tell them.
This is so beautiful. Yeah, Manny Pacquiao believes that God told him, he went on and told a newspaper in the Philippines, that God told him, or maybe it was a TV station, God told him that he was going to lose the Mayweather fight. He said that he had a dream that he was going to lose by decision. The decision wasn't clear, but there was some controversy in the decision that he was going to lose the fight, and then that's why he lost the fight.
Okay, did God plan for you to tear up your shoulder during the fight, too?
Right. And, you know, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, him and the Las Vegas bookies and everybody else, you know, who said that Mayweather was favored, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I don't understand Manny, man. Manny, I tell you what, let me tell you something. Manny needs to go back to the old Manny. If he wants to be effective, he needs to go back to the old Manny. He needs to go back to drinking. He needs to go back to cheating on his wife. He needs to go to cockfights again. The things that made him whole, that made him Manny, okay? He's over here now. He's praying. He's trying to get people, you know, he's trying to help people out. He's running for Congress. He's trying to run for president now over in the Philippines. He's not a killer anymore.
Well, don't you realize when the Philippines need to pay off their debts, they go to Manny Pacquiao now?
Right. You know, he's going to church. He's trying to live the straight and narrow. All I'm saying is he's not been the same fighter since he gave up cockfighting. That's all I'm saying, all right? That's it, you know?
Well, I'm surprised to hear you say, as a married man, that he needs to cheat on his wife.
This is what made him a champion, son. All right? This is what made him a champion. Cheating on Jinky made him a champion, all right? And it kept that fire going.
Okay.
And now he's living a straight and narrow. Now look at him.
I hope Lisa's saying? Paying attention to this.
She's outside. It's all good. she never listens to the show anyway. All right. Let's talk about Deontay Wilder before I get in trouble. Deontay Wilder is said to be fighting again in January. He's geared up and ready to fight again in January against a to-be-determined opponent, TBA. The WBC has said that, you know, Alexander Povetkin is the mandatory. However, Deontay says, I could care less. I'm fighting in January. If he wants to fight me in January, he's more than welcome.
Well, look, if I'm the WBC, now look, I'm in support of rankings and, you know, sanctioning bodies if somebody's earned a title shot. I've got no problem. But if I'm the WBC here, do I make the next person in my rankings the mandatory? Because why in the hell is Alexander Povetkin fighting some guy in Russia in November?
He's fighting November 4th. Alexander Povetkin will not fight in January, likely not fight in January anyway.
Yeah.
He won't be ready. He's got a November 4th fight scheduled against Marius Wach.
Yeah.
He's not going to fight in January. What's he doing? And you know what? I got to put a little blame on Povetkin for this, too. Why are you fighting in January or in November, you moron? If you know that he's fighting in January, cancel that fight and start training.
Look, what the hell are you doing? Unless this is a glorified sparring session, why are you risking your mandatory title?
He's an idiot. Why else would you? I mean, you know, look, and I think Deontay Wilder is very clever here and found a loophole here where he's fighting every couple of months where he knows the guy's not going to be ready. I mean, what?
No, look, I don't have
mandatory, you know?
I don't have access to the rankings, but who would be number two in the WBC rankings?
Let me double check here. Let me see if I can pull this up here.
Because obviously, whoever the number two is, I think he deserves the next mandatory title shot. I think Alexander Povetkin is blowing
He's blown it. Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go number two either. Anthony Joshua is ranked number two already by the WBC.
Well, my question, Eric, is, okay, we believe that Anthony Joshua is not ready for that, but since, let's be honest here, since Povetkin has pretty much said, I don't want this title shot, do you go ahead and give it to a guy like Joshua, even though we know he's not ready for it?
If I'm Wilder, I don't know, man. Anthony Joshua could be the real deal. He may not be the real deal. I don't know. He's never fought anybody like Wilder, put it that way.
But if you're Deontay Wilder and you want to keep your title belt, do you say to the WBC, look, it's obvious Povetkin has blown this. Do I go ahead and give it to the next guy?
You know who I take if I'm Deontay Wilder and he's ranked number seven in the WBC? Arthur Spiltzka. Because I think you can get a decent crowd. I think you can get a top-notch crowd there, especially if you do it in Chicago. He's a decent fighter. He's on the PBC.
Yeah.
Why not?
But how does the sanctioning bodies work in this case? Is a champion allowed to choose?
Well, no. But, he's found a really clever loophole here by fighting every couple of months. Because he's going to fight in January.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do. I mean, what are you going to say? No, you can't fight in January?
Yeah.
You can't. The guy's willing to defend your title. He's willing to fight Povetkin, but he's going to fight in January.
Yeah.
Povetkin's an idiot here for fighting in November.
But if you're the sanctioning body, do you allow Wilder to continue fighting whoever he wants?
Why not?
Or do you enforce, no.
Why would I keep a guy on the shelf? I can't, in good conscience, keep a guy on the shelf if he wants to fight.
Yeah.
I can't say, okay, well, you got to wait for Povetkin. You can't fight. You can't stop him from making a paycheck.
No.
Can't do that.
I'm wondering how this all works here. If you're the WBC, what do you do here? You've got a number one contender that wants to fight in November. You've got the champion says I'm gonna fight January.
I look at Povetkin and say, do you want this or not?
Yeah.
That's what I do. I mean, look, I'm not gonna stop Wilder from fighting in January. He's a champion. He's representing our championship. Why not let him fight in January? If he wants to fight in January, fight in January. But this idiot is fighting in November.
My point is, though, if Anthony Joshua is the next in line, do you give him the shot?
No, he's not number one. Until he becomes number one contender, you can't. He can fight whoever he wants. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think it's genius by his management. I'll tell you that. Genius.
Okay. All right. This is definitely train wreck material what the hell is Povetkin doing here? I mean,
he's a moron. He's an absolute moron. He ought to fire his managers is what he should do. That's what he should do.
Yeah.
For costing him, especially if he loses on November 4th.
Yeah.
You know. Let's talk about Keith Thurman and Sean Porter. Is this happening or not? Dan Rafael of ESPN is reporting that welterweight titleist Keith Thurman and former title holder Sean Porter have been on a collision course, and it appears that it's going to happen on December 12th on Showtime. If you remember, December 12th on Showtime, December 12th is an open date for Showtime.
That is correct.
And Showtime declined to comment on this, but multiple sources are saying that the fight will go off on December 12th. So who knows? But I think that fight will happen. I think that fight number one will happen, and I think it's going to be a good one. So
yeah, no, and who would you favor there? Because I think this is a 50-50 kind of deal here.
I would favor Thurman, but it wouldn't shock me for Porter.
Yeah.
I think Thurman should probably be the favorite, put it that way.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I like both guys.
I do too, man. But, yeah, man, Porter, that pressure he's going to put on him, I don't know, man. That's going to be a good one. I can't wait. We're going to find out. Yeah. I tell you, we're going to find out what Thurman's made of, put it that way.
Yeah.
This isn't Robert Guerrero in front of him.
This ain't Robert Guerrero. This ain't Diego Chavez. This ain't Luis Collazo. Porter's a real deal.
Yeah, you're fighting somebody now. Put it that way.
And I've also heard rumors that this might take place on December 19th, but we'll see what happens. I think this fight's going to happen, and what a way to end the year.
Absolutely. Well, it doesn't even matter. I mean, on December, and speaking of December 19th, Andy Lee versus Billy Joe Saunders has been now rescheduled for a third time for December 19th in Manchester.
We got to bring this up here. Yeah. Why the hell does this fight keep getting rescheduled? Does people keep getting hurt, or what's the deal?
The first time they claimed that Lee had an injury, and the fight was supposed to take place in Ireland, if you remember. And
right.
I heard that the rumor was that there was hardly any ticket sales in Ireland to support this.
Which I find hard to believe.
I do too. Andy Lee is very popular. Conor McGregor is popular over there. I have a hard time with that one. But I don't know if Andy Lee was hurt the next time, but somebody was hurt, and then Billy Joe Saunders, of course, got hurt again. So it's finally on for December 19th in Manchester.
Okay, I'm wondering if this fight gets canceled again, just like with the Wilder discussion. Do you move to the next guy in the WBO rankings here?
I think it depends on who gets injured.
Yeah.
But say Saunders gets injured and it has to be delayed again. If I'm Andy Lee, I'm saying, look, I'm going to fight somebody here.
Yeah.
And if it's not him and if he's too injury prone, then I need somebody, if he's too frail, then I need somebody you guys need to put in front of me here.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of waiting for this guy.
No, you've got two champions here, Wilder and Lee.
I think at some point you got to fish or cut bait, because I think that the sanctioning bodies especially, hey, look, man, are you going to fight this guy or not? Just like the UFC, if you got a number one contender, you're slated to fight, the fight's scheduled, and you fall out of that fight, it's not uncommon to have another guy being put in your place.
Right.
You know?
So I think in both the WBC's case for Wilder and the WBO case for Lee, I think they both have got to say, okay, it's next man up, For Wilder, it's Joshua, whether we think he's ready or not. And for Lee, we don't know who that would be.
Right. I'm surprised. Man, I'm surprised they have him ranked number two. That's crazy. Let's talk about Kell Brook versus Timothy Bradley. Could that be next? Eddie Hearn has come out and stated that he wants Kell Brook to fight Tim Bradley next. Brook steps into the ring with Diego Chavez on October 24th. Of course, if he's successful, they want Tim Bradley next. Eddie Hearn said he also expects Brooke, this is beautiful, to move up in weight. Eddie Hearn is such a career killer, man. I tell you what, if you want to ruin your career, get with Eddie Hearn. He wants Kell Brook to move up in weight to go to 154 after a few more fights. I have no idea why they want to do that. There is a ton of money in the welterweight division, not to mention the Lions Den of Fighters.
First of all, if I'm Kell Brook, I get rid of my promoter, because that's the most ridiculous thing. Because you could rematch Sean Porter, you could fight Keith Thurman, you could fight
all big money fights.
Yeah, and let's face it, like it or not, Amir Khan is a fight that's got to happen, especially in England.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But
I mean,
he doesn't
need
Amir Khan. I mean, neither one of them need each other.
Look. I'm talking from the UK point of view here. I mean, the people in the UK, they want that fight to happen. Why don't you give it to them?
Well, I don't think there's any problem with Kell Brook. I think that it squarely falls on Amir Khan's shoulders. He doesn't want
exactly.
To fight him.
I mean, come on. Look, I've got nothing against Timothy Bradley, because I think Bradley will if Timothy Bradley is right, which I've got questions about now, especially choosing Teddy Atlas, I don't know. But if Timothy Bradley does not take care of Brandon Rios, I'm wondering about what Timothy Bradley's got left.
Yeah, Brandon Rios doesn't have much left. So, yeah, you got to wonder what Bradley has left.
Yeah. And I think Bradley is making stupid decisions outside of the ring. And, you know, I still have a problem with him leaving his trainer that has got him to where he is.
Everybody thinks Bradley's this great fighter. I don't really see it. And I've never really cared for Tim Bradley.
Every time Timothy Bradley has stepped up, let's be honest, he failed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely has. You know, and I think the thing is with Bradley, I mean, you know, I think he needed a fresh start, so I don't mind the Teddy Atlas thing. I think it was the way he went about it, maybe, that has people, you know, left a little sour. But,
yeah, now,
you know,
look.
Those kind of things happen, man. I mean, yeah. Those kind of things happen, you know.
No, I get you. Oh, and that also reminds me. But, again, to close out this Timothy Bradley thing, he's got to successfully take care of Brandon Rios. Do I want to see Brook fight Bradley? Not really. No. I think there are better fights for Kell Brook to have.
Right.
Because I don't think Timothy Bradley has earned a title shot. I don't think he's done anything recently that convinces me that he's earned a title shot. But if you want to give him one, I've got no problem with it. But for God's sakes, make it over here in the States.
Yeah, I want to see Saddam Ali take out Tim Bradley first. You know, I want to see them. Yeah. I want to see those two hook it up, man. Because Saddam Ali's waited long enough. He needs
that's another thing we got to remember here. Saddam Ali's the mandatory for Bradley.
Right.
So are you going to keep ducking your mandatory?
Right. Well, Deontay Wilder is. So.
Well, no, his mandatory is ducking him.
Yeah, really. You know, this is twice it's happened now. It's twice it's happened now. He's been the mandatory for a few fights now. So exactly.
So, yeah. I don't know. There's some questions here that need to be solved here with the WBO, with both Andy Lee and now Bradley. I mean, look, I got no problem with Bradley fighting Rios. I got no problem with that because it's, in my opinion, it's easy work for Tim Bradley. But, I mean, after that, you've got to fulfill your mandatory here.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with Saddam Ali. He deserves that title shot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely he does. Absolutely he does. And I don't care who Saddam Ali fights, if he fights Kell Brook or Tim Bradley. So I'd like to see him against either one of them. And, you know, I think him and Kell Brook would be a better fight for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
A really good fight.
Yeah.
So.
But, hey, if you want to give Bradley the Ali fight and have Ali beat Bradley and then Ali fight Brook, I got no problem with that either.
No. I don't either.
But Eddie Hearn's an idiot Kell Brook is going to move up to 154. I don't know if he's big enough to move up to 154.
Yeah, I don't know that he is either. And why would you move out of the division where you got all these sharks there, you know, to go up and fight who? Who are you going to fight? What do you think? You're going to get a Cotto fight up there? Get out of here. What do you think? You're going to go get Canelo? Shut up.
First of all, Canelo is going to be a true middleweight after he...
Hearn is just a complete airhead.
Yeah. Get rid of your promoter and go with Al Heyman and shut up.
Yeah, that's right. And on that note, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Robbie on Twitter at Ringside Robert. And do me a favor, guys. Tweet Ringside Robert at Ringside Robert and tell him to get a DVR, right, so he can start recording these fights. Tell him to get into this century. And I'm at Ringside 73, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.